I hope you are well.
No, we are well, my brother.
Yes, this afternoon we're going to be discussing the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill, which is before honorable members. But without wasting much time, let's start with the background to this very bill. The bill basically seeks to amend Section 154 of the Criminal Procedure Act in order to give effect to the judgment of the Constitutional Court in the Center for Child Law and Others, Versus Media Limited case. The Constitutional Court confirmed the decision of the Supreme Court of Appeal and declared Section 154, Subsection 3 of the constitutionally invalid for being constitutionally invalid for failing to protect the identity of child victims of crime in criminal proceedings and for failing to provide ongoing protection of anonymity to child accused witnesses and victims. The court, in its judgment, suspended the invalidity for 24 months to afford Parliament an opportunity to remedy the defect giving rise to constitutional invalidity. So the Parliament has got up until the 4th of December 2021 to correct the impugned section. Now, currently, Section 154, Subsection 3 of the Act affords anonymity protection for child accused or witnesses in criminal proceedings. This protection prevents the publication of any information that discloses the identity of the child accused and witnesses. The protection may only be withheld on authority of a court if it finds doing so equitable and just. However, child victims are not covered by this protection. The provision does not extend protection into adulthood for child accused witnesses and victims. Thus, in the center of child law judgment, the court found Section 154(3) to be unconstitutional for arbitrarily differentiating between classes of children and thus giving rise to a breach of the right to equality. The court stated that by excluding child victims from its protection, the section limits the right to equality, privacy, and dignity, and the principle of the best interest of the child. Now, what follows then is the discussion of the clauses in the bill itself. And clause 1, subsection A of the bill amends section 154, subsection 3 of the Act in order to prohibit the publication of any information which reveals or may reveal the identity of an accused or a witness or a person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, who is or was under the age of 18 years at the time of the alleged commission of the offense, unless the publication of such information is authorized by a court under subsection 3, capital B. Subsection 3, capital B provides for the judicial officer or the presiding judge to authorize the publication of any information relating to the proceedings as he or she may deem fit, if such publication would, in his or her opinion, be just and equitable and in the interest of any particular person. Clause 1, paragraph B, departs from the general rule on anonymity and permits a police officer or any other person authorized by the National Commissioner of South African Police Service to, in certain circumstances, publish information which may reveal the identity of an accused, a witness, a person who is under the age of 18 years, against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, or a person whose whereabouts needs to be located. Circumstances listed in subsection 3, capital A, must be present in respect of every category of children in criminal proceedings before the information revealing the identity of a child may be published by the South African Police Services or an authorized person. The Constitutional Court held that an accused witness or person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed who is under the age of 18 years at the time of the commission of the offense does not forfeit the protection of anonymity afforded by Section 154 upon attainment of the age of 18 years. The amendment to Section 154 provides that protection in subsection 3 is ongoing unless the court authorizes the publication of the information of a child. A person may consent to the publication of their identity after reaching the age of 18 years, or if the consent is refused, their identity may be published at the discretion of a competent court. Consent is not the sole criteria for the publication of such information. Proposed subsection 3 capital B requires the court to be satisfied that the accused witness or a person against whom an offense has been committed understands the nature and effect of the order authorizing publication of their identity. Proposed new subsection 3 capital B also provides factors which must be considered by the court in determining whether the identity of such an accused witness or a person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, who is or was under the age of 18 years at the time of the commission of the offense, may be revealed. These factors include the nature of charges, the age of the person involved, the interest of the public, the hardship a person may suffer as a result of publication, and so on and so on. A court may, if it deems it necessary and in the interest of justice, hold an inquiry to determine whether an order for the publication of information which may reveal the identity of a person should be granted. Such an inquiry may take place behind closed doors, and the disclosure of information relating to such an inquiry is prohibited unless the court permits such disclosure. The verdict of the inquiry must be delivered in an open court, subject to the limits set by the court. And clause 2 of the bill contains a short title and the commencement of the bill, which is on publication. I thank you, honorable members.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Any comments or questions, members? Honorable
Elwood Drachens,
followed by Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. I would expect that all children, whether they be victims or not victims, will be covered, that their names must not be disclosed. I just don't understand. I just want clarity why children victims were not covered there. So just wanted clarity on that. And then secondly, I also wanted clarity if a crime or an offense or something happens to a person who is younger than 18 or under 18. And now they turn 18 and the case, you know, the information is open. Will those who are above 18 also be protected? I just wanted to understand. I understand the case of Stephanie that happened, but it happened, you know, so when a person is a child, like, for example, they were raped as a child, and they only reveal this after they are 18. Can their name and what has happened still then be confidential? I just wanted to be clear on that.
Thank you very much. Honorable Horn.
Yes, Chair, obviously it's once again one of these amendment bills which we deal in a piecemeal way with it, and the one thing I wanted to ask well, we have the department here specifically in the case of sexual offences, and just circling back to the National Sex Offenders Register, where, if I understood it correctly, victims' names are also included. Has the department considered, in respect of the other bills we're dealing with, the implications of this judgment, and are we fine then in the way we've been dealing with those matters over there? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Over to your department. Department.
Honorable Chairperson, are you still there?
Ms. Porter? Ms. Ross, can you assist us?
Honorable Gond's question, he was very much inaudible. But taking the question of Honorable Velma on why the child victims were excluded from the protection. I would say that was a mistake which unfortunately persisted for all these years, because child victims, or because the accused who would be the, it is taken that the accused is his presence or his or her presence is highlighted, is there as well as the witness. But when it comes to the witness, in practice it would just happen that the court is cleared when a person who is underage testifies, and that would include a child victim. And to me, the only response that I can give there, because, you know, like I say, I think it was a mistake, because the act is a 1977 act, and perhaps the reason was that because the court would be cleared in the interest of the child, in order to protect the child, then it is just assumed that protection is given there by the court in the best interest of the child. But clearly, as the court has indicated, it was wrong, because it did not work in the best interest of the child, and hence the Constitutional Court concluded that this protection must be extended to victims accused as well as with child, and hence the aim of this bill is to correct that defect. Honorable Verma went on further to seek clarity on whether a person who is now an adult at the time of the institution of proceedings or of laying a complaint would then be covered in the amendment. Yes, because the person would have been under 18 at the time of the commission of the offense against the person, unless, of course, if the person is now of age and then the person consents. But as the amendment stands, that person who would have been under 18 when the offense against them is was committed would be covered by the amendment. Chair, I mentioned that I didn't get Honourable Horn's question at all. Perhaps she could assist me there.
Honourable Horn, can you briefly assist?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. Mrs. Roth, what I referred to is that, whilst this is, I want to say, technical bill, once again, enforced by the a finding of the Constitutional Court, we obviously shouldn't work in silos and we should integrate. So what I was asking is, to what extent has this judgment also been appraised in the way we deal, in the way the other three pieces of legislation, and specifically the Sexual Offences Amendment Bill and the National Sex Offenders Register, has been phrased, considering that the details of minor victims and even minor offenders are to be included in the National Sex Offenders Register, and the way I understood the brief presentation now regarding this judgment, it might have an impact on the way we go about dealing with those matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Goss.
Chair, I understand what Honourable Horn says, and that's a very important question. Chair, can I ask that we liaise with the officials who are working on the sexual offences, the amendments, and maybe even the act itself, so that in the meeting, in the next meeting of the committee, then we can provide the committee with a full response in this regard.
That's fine. Any further comments, members? Honourable, yes. Is it an old hand or a new hand?
No, Jay, maybe like as Ms. Ross now said, you know, they want to speak to the officials. What is the time frame for those victims who are already above 18 to disclose, or if the media finds a fascinating case that they want to publish their names? The reason why I'm asking is, in the case of Daphne, she brought this case forward and she also wrote a book a few years later. So that's why I'm asking, what is the time frame of a person who is already an adult, where their names cannot be disclosed? How long can their names not be disclosed for? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Jada.
Thank you, Chair. No, I don't think that maybe I had much to say. I wanted just to agree with her, just so that we can give her time and consult with those officials for the next meeting. We can get there. Okay.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ross, the question that was asked by Honourable Nubu-Krahan.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the particulars of a person who was underage at the time of the commission of the offence may not be disclosed at any stage unless the court authorizes that. Other than that, it may, or unless a person who fully understands the consequences thereof consents, like the bill provides consents to the disclosure. But other than that, it may not be disclosed, even if a person has now become an adult, or the the charges were pressed when the person is already, the victim was already well above 18 years old, is already an adult.
Thank you very much. Members, I think what is left now is for us to be given permission to publish, in fact, to allow for public comment, and maybe we need to agree on the time frame, because usually it's between 3 weeks to a month to allow for public comment. We have to take into account that this bill is as a result of the Constitutional Court's judgment, and the deadline is December of 2021. So it's one of the bills that we must prioritize when we come back to process. And so can the chair be allowed to sign off that we invite public comments, and then once we have signed off on that, then the adverts, I think in the next week or so, will go out inviting for public comments. Will that be in order?
Yes, Chair.
We'll give the Chair that opportunity, yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. And so the bill will be published, and the Secretariat will do the necessary logistical arrangements for public comments. And also the other bill that we might need to finalize when we come back, because there has been a movement from the Department of Agriculture and the issue of cannabis, we might need to look at that, because I think we would need to do also public hearings on that one, but we might need to discuss the logistics of it. So those are the two bills that might need our urgent attention when we come back from that research. Thank you very much, members. Can I invite the Parliamentary Legal Services to brief us on the bills that have got constitutional deadlines? Thank you very much, Ms. Ross, and to your team, and to the person who presented. Thank you very much. So we will take the process from here going forward.
Thank you, Chair.
Before, Ms. Ross, before you step off this issue,
yes,
I think it would be important that maybe every 6 months the committee is briefed on the constitutional court judgments where there are deadlines. Because this judgment, I think it was a 2019 judgment, and it is only brought to our attention now when we are left with 4 months or so, less than a year before the judgment, before the deadline. So I think it will be important that every 6 months we get an update whether there are concord judgments that have got deadlines, and then we get sort of a project plan as to how those deadlines are going to be met.
Noted, Chair.
Thank you very much. Parliamentary Legal Services, are you in?
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Well, I'm told that you have planned for next week.
Yes, that is why I'm a bit confused, Chair.
Okay, no, my apologies. I thank you for my apologies in the villa. So, which means we have come to the end of the meeting for today. Is that true, Mr. Tunjani?
Yes, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, members, for ensuring that we push the outstanding bills. And thank you very much. Let's meet tomorrow at 9 so that we can finally finalize the GBV bills. Honorable Chair, is that a new hand or an old hand?
It's an old hand, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, members. Thank you, and thank you to everybody on the virtual platform, and thank you also to members from the Department of Justice and Correctional Services who have assisted us today, and thank you to the Parliamentary Legal Services for your continuous support. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.